What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
Yes!
What?
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be anathema. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. This is the gospel heard around the world. I am Jeff Durbin. They call me the Ninja, and that's Luke the Bear.
What is up?
And that's Joy the Girl.
Hello.
Marcus King Ginger Pittman's on the ones and twos.
How's it going?
And we're back for another episode, guys. What's happening? How's everybody doing?
I'm tired.
Let's update everybody on the progress of the next studio. The stage being built, everything getting set for the next platform to communicate the gospel to the culture and to engage in the arena of abortion on a national level outside of the Christian ghetto. If you haven't heard yet, we are doing a new show. It's part of one of the aspects of what we talked about at the beginning of the year for End Abortion Now. We wanted to have a platform that can engage on a national level at the highest level and communicate the biblical worldview in really every area we can, but also with the central heartbeat focusing upon ending abortion and criminalizing it across the United States. And so working on right now, next week with Jeff Durbin, it's our nighttime talk show, and Pastor Luke is building the new studio. I'm sure he shed many, many a tear breaking down the old and bringing in the new. Tell us, Pastor Luke, what's happening with the set?
What? Huh?
What's going on?
What? Putting the finishers on.
The final touches.
So it's coming together.
Yes.
Starting to, it's hard for, I think, people to picture it until the finish is going and it starts to take shape. So I'm excited. It's getting there.
And then we can get the technical in.
That's right. So the stage
there's
gets
a lot
built,
of technical.
And then we have, of course, all the technical stuff. We have all the things that need to make it look like a regular old nighttime talk show. We have an amazing writer who's helping us as well. His name is Chris. And he actually wrote for Jimmy Fallon, and he's a believer.
He actually did.
Yes, he did.
It's
he actually
crazy.
Did.
And he's actually working with us.
Yes. You guys getting that buzz too when Marcus shouts out like that?
alcohol buzz?
I don't hear any buzz.
Maybe it's just me.
I know
me.
I'm excited, but you're talking about a buzz.
Like a snap, crackle, pop.
I think it's all on your end, dude. You're getting that snap, crackle, pop on your end.
Okay, let me turn my mic down.
Okay, there you go. So anyway, that's underway right now, and so hopefully that'll be going up really, really soon. If you go to Facebook / Apologia Radio, you'll be able to look at some of the most recent commercials that we drop for next week, and to try to fix some of the confusion. It's not starting next week. It's not an advertisement saying
it's called next week.
It's not saying next week, Jeff Durbin.
We'll be very clear with dates because we understand the confusion of saying, next week with Jeff Durbin.
Yeah. I had somebody message us the other day and they were like, what time is your next live broadcast? And I was like, I don't know.
I'm glad people are waiting for it.
That's right. Next week, that's the name of the show, guys. And so be on the lookout for it. And if you would, join with us in sharing it so we can communicate. Just make sure everyone knows, like, the why. Most of these nighttime talk shows are worldview-driven talk shows. And so you look at guys like John Oliver and Stephen Colbert, when they respond to current events, they're responding with an unbelieving worldview and a humanist worldview on many levels. And after Trump was elected this last election cycle, John Oliver went on a rant. Grassroots movement kind of stuff. He's like, he named the organizations. He was like, give your money to Planned Parenthood, to this organization, that organization. He said, go and support them, go and work for them. I mean, he's like rallying the troops. I mean, it's not just a nighttime talk show. It's worldview driven. It's promoting a worldview. And the question is, where's the Christian perspective? Where's the Christian worldview being faithfully represented and communicated as a nighttime talk show? It doesn't exist. And so we thought, we'll do that. And we're going to do that. And it's coming very, very soon. So next week with Jeff Durbin, it'll be on Facebook Live every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when we're going to drop it. Just be on the lookout for Facebook Live. It'll also be on other platforms, but not live. And so check it out live on Apologia Radio's Facebook page. And that's all I have to say about that. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, you want to be on the lookout. Be watching YouTube. Be watching Facebook. We have our annual Mormon Temple Easter pageant outreach happening. It's coming up. As a matter of fact, when you hear this broadcast, it's going to be happening this week. And so be checking back at in the evenings, because we're going to be live streaming our evangelism outside the Mormon Temple.
I can't wait.
First time. Luke's very excited. First time we're going to have live streamed during the Easter pageant. We just recently did it during Christmas lights, and it went really, really well. And a lot of people were blessed by that. And so
I don't know that anybody really ever has done anything like this.
No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. And so that's a first. First Christian nighttime talk show. First live streaming evangelism outside the Mormon Temple Easter pageant. So
isn't that the first talk show on Facebook Live, period, though?
It could be. I think, yeah,
I haven't
you're
heard
right.
of any.
You're right. And by the way, I can barely hear you, just so you know. With this whole
Marcus,
thing.
Well,
that's because you told me
Marcus.
To turn it down.
Yeah, but I didn't want you to go to, like,
Hold
Australia.
On,
Speaking of Australia, we still have our token Australian sitting right now on the couch. We're in the makeshift studio still, by the way. Very nostalgic for us, because this is where we started in the writer's room.
How is this?
That's good.
Still
Did
a little.
It, crack?
It cracked
crunchy.
A little.
Did it?
It's still crunchy.
I didn't hear
it. Still a little crunchy to my ear.
It's not cracking in my ears at all.
Well, it's fine. It's fine for now. So let's just leave it there.
Okay.
All right.
It's subjective.
Tobias's wife made us some awesome desserts today.
She did.
Tracy. Who's not
Fine,
here.
Tracy, awesome. You've been here for a long time, dude. Are you sure you haven't overstayed your visa? I won't tell.
Tobias has been a huge help. You don't know this because you were in Ireland. He's been here almost every day.
Seriously, he has.
Her day.
Nice.
Helping me do stuff in the studio.
Praise
so
Lord. We also have another guest right now sitting at the table you want to introduce.
I eventually was going to get to him. This is Cameron. Say hi, Cameron.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, say more than that.
Hello.
Cameron,
I'm here from Indiana.
What are you doing at Apologia Studios? You don't live here.
We are on spring break, and we have a friend we wanted to come visit, and we also wanted to come see Apologia Studios.
Apologia Studios.
Apologudas.
Apologudas Studio. Wait. All right, so how long are you staying for?
We're actually packing up the car tonight and heading out in the morning.
Aw.
Back to Indiana. We drove.
Oh, my goodness.
1,900
miles. 1,900
miles.
Yeah. Wow. We feel special, man. That's good. That's nice.
It's
and you're wearing
good.
A Calvinist t-shirt there.
I am.
That's for the Calvinist movie?
It is.
Heretic.
It is.
Okay. So, well, thanks for coming, man.
Hey, thanks for
appreciate
inviting
you being
me.
Here.
Appreciate
yeah, it. it's a little bootleg in here today, but
I like it.
This is how we do. All right, so again, be looking out for the Mormon Temple Evangelism coming soon. Make sure you guys share that stuff, because I'm telling you what, when we did it at Christmas time, and we did that evangelism, we don't know if we're going to get into any conversations, but we did, and that got shared. I mean, it was seen by like 200,000 people overnight. That's significant impact. I mean, you get to reach a lot of people, a lot of conversations. Were started as a result of those videos, and so share it if you would. I'm just going through the list here of reminders. EndAbortionNow.com, the website. I think by the time, Zach, would it be appropriate for me to say that by the time they hear this next week, it's up? EndAbortionNow.com, the website is finished, and it's up right now. You guys can go to EndAbortionNow.com. You can get all your training, all your resources, everything you need to get involved in the same kind of work Apologia Church is involved in outside the abortion mills, preaching the gospel, saving babies. And so you can go there now. So I know that it's been a little bit of time getting that done, but it looks really, really great. Training videos are up. A lot of work went into it.
Some of them. We're uploading the training videos as we go.
Okay.
Now is finally.
You can go on there and you can register for the End Abortion Now conference.
That's right. End Abortion Now conference happening May 4th through 6th. Joy, why don't you go ahead and tell everyone about that?
Right. If you're excited to sign up for End Abortion Now and receive the free resources and free kit and all that that's available on there, and you should also be excited to sign up for the End Abortion Now conference, which is an in-person opportunity for you to receive training and information and become equipped in doing ministry outside of abortion clinics. And then we would hope that obviously you would go back home and use that training to start making a move.
That's right.
In conjunction with your kit and resources found on endabortionnow.com. So the conference is May 4th through the 6th.
I have a question. Sorry, I'm confused by what I tell people. Like, I know that the location is like on the border of like Paradise Valley and Scottsdale.
Right.
Is it officially Scottsdale?
It's technically in North Scottsdale. It's okay. On 56th Street and Greenway.
Okay.
But it's sort, you know, it's, I think we've been throwing Paradise Valley in there so that people aren't like, oh, so it's Scottsdale. It'll take me 15 minutes to get there.
Yeah.
It's more like 35 to 45 minutes, depending on where you're coming from.
From the valley.
So yeah, it is a little bit further out, but it is a nice location. It's at Oasis Community Church, and it's the 4th through the 6th. On the 6th, we will not be at the church, though. We'll be doing ministry at Planned Parenthood. So that's another really great reason to come out, because we're going to equip you to do ministry outside of Planned Parenthood or your local abortion clinic.
And don't leave early to catch a flight.
Right, and then we're...
That's the main thing.
Right. If you stay Saturday, which I hope you would stay Saturday, because it's essentially the application of everything you'll learn on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. So 3 days, spend time with us. Let's get to know each other. Let's get all on the same page. Let's make sure that we are networking in a way that is really, really helpful for us as we move forward to really communicate the gospel at the front lines. And this is significant, and to engage in the legislative process to end abortion at the state level. And I want to emphasize something that is powerful. We are paying a significant sum of money that we actually hadn't planned on paying for a special aspect of the website. Now, please listen closely to this. This is very, very important. Even if you, for some reason, don't go to End Abortion Now and actually get signed up with End Abortion Now and get the resources and do this ministry, even if you don't get involved in that kind of ministry, we want you to get involved in this aspect. Every single one of our listeners right now, every single one of the like 100,000 downloads a month that listen to this show, every single one of you can do this right now. You can go to endabortionnow.com and you can go and you can fill out the form that essentially sends a message that's pre-written to your legislators in your area that essentially pleads with them to uphold justice for these fatherless children. And it calls on them to uphold the law, to do justice, and it tells them that you will support them if they act consistently in this area. And so We are investing as a church a significant amount of money in this. It wasn't foreseen. We didn't know this was going to be a possibility, and so we are doing it. I want you guys to do this. Not only do it yourself, but let people know about it. Share it. This is, I think, the really first of its kind, where there is a letter like this going out to every legislator from into every state from you. And it looks like it's written from you, coming directly from your email with your contact information. And I think it's a very graciously written letter, respectful, honorable, with dignity, and it demands justice and for the criminalization of abortion. That's going to go to legislators across the country only if you, yes, you, the one listening right now, listening to my voice, if you participate and send that out, if you click the button, put your information in, that's how you participate. So please hear me on this. Please, no matter where you are, no matter what church you're part of, no matter what's going on in your life, please take a moment to go to endabortionnow.com and please fill that out and please send that off. Please engage in that with us. Very, very important to us and completely unique. One of the things that we've said, and we're going to end the segment with this, is that we have to do a couple of things to end abortion in our nation. We need to communicate the gospel, first and foremost. We need to change the heart of the culture, which happens through the communication of the gospel. And we need to make sure that legislators understand that they have the support of the people mm-hmm. who are in their under their jurisdiction. Right. Now, look, you can talk all day long about dropping House bills and putting legislation in that criminalizes abortion. But if you are doing that in a context of a culture that loves to murder children, it's not going to make a difference. And if you are dropping bills and submitting bills that legislators do not believe that their constituents are behind, the legislators will not pass it. Mm. They just will not.
Right.
And you can talk about faithfulness and putting bills in all day long. If the legislators don't believe that the constituents are going to back them, they are not passing those bills. And the way that you can convince these legislators to pass these bills is if they know from their constituents that you will support them, you will stand with them, you will fight for them, and that's what this is all about. So please, help us. Do this with us. You are a part of this. If you're listening to right now Apologia Radio and you are saying, I want in, we want you in, and let's do this together. So this is a joint grassroots effort. It's a gospel-centered effort. It is a Christian effort. It is a local church effort across the country. Please help us. Be a part of this with us. Go to endabortionnow.com with your church. Get an account with your church. Get signed up. Get the resources. Get the training. And at the very least, go fill out that form, hit the click and send button, and make sure that you let everybody know in your social network that it's there, and you tell them to do exactly the same. That's how we do this. Imagine millions of people sending this thing out to legislators across the country. Imagine legislators knowing that they have the support of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of their constituents, that if they criminalize abortion, you will stand with them, and you will demand these pro-life politicians to act consistently with their professed beliefs. That's the thing. You say, you're a pro-life politician, you stand where you say you stand, mm-hmm. and do it with courage, and I will back you up. I will support you, I will pray for you, and that's what it says. And so please do that, and stay with us, guys. We're actually today talking about Mormonism. Mormonism. We're going to talk about Mormonism and try not to do that again.
Where was your drum roll?
That little crackle happens when we get excited.
That's right. So we're going to talk about Mormonism. Actually, we're going to spend a few minutes talking through our tract we hand out at the Mormon Temple, Basic Teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You getting the fruit flies around you too?
Well, you just moved your
fruit
tract
flies.
And yeah. Flies just...
Oh,
so this is that's the tract cute. That we hand out outside the Mormon Temple. We've done it for about 10 years or more. And we're going to go through a few things in here and talk about the controversial aspects of the tract and why it was written in the way that it is, considering that much on this tract a Mormon would look at and say, that's the strangest thing I ever saw, and I don't believe that. You'll understand, hopefully, by the end of this episode, why it was written in the way that it is and why we want it to be controversial. It's controversial for a very good reason to open the eyes of the Mormons to the very strange teachings of their prophets. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us. Don't forget, guys, share the episode. Sign up for all access, guys. Partner with Apologia Church. Be right back.
This is is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the Lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. David Shannon. He's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
Hello, my name is Elder Young. Hello, did you know that Jesus lived here in the USA? You can read all about it now.
Hello,
in this nifty book, it's free, no, you don't have to pay.
Hello,
hello, my name is Elder Smith, and can I leave this book with you for you to just peruse?
Hello,
hello,
hello.
I'll just leave it here. It has a lot of information you can really use. Hello.
Hi.
My name is
Jesus Christ.
You have a lovely home.
Hello.
It's an amazing book.
Bonjour.
Hola.
Ni hao.
So, Marcus, have you seen that?
I've listened to it.
I didn't know there was a Broadway play.
Yeah.
You say you listen to it?
I've listened to the album.
Oh, you've listened past tense or you listen? Like it's something you actually...
In the past, I've okay. listened to it.
Gotcha. So I've never seen it. So what is it? It's a play?
It's by the creators of South Park.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And it's where Josh Gad got really popular. Because
I didn't know that.
Josh yep. Gad played one of the elders.
I see.
That guy right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
Josh Gad went from a Mormon elder to a gay fool.
Right. Interesting.
I'm talking about Beauty and the Beast.
And in between, he played
the
snowman.
I'm not calling him a gay fool.
Oh, I see. Because yeah. everyone said that. Gotcha.
Yeah, Jeff was like, what are you talking about?
I get it.
His character was LeFou, the fool, and yeah. he was apparently gay. So
very good. Very good. Okay.
And Olaf in between.
Right.
So we are going to talk a bit today about the tract that we hand out outside the Mormon Temple in Mesa, Arizona. It's called Basic Teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But before we get into the tract itself, I want to play for you guys a clip from outside the Mormon Temple so you guys get a little bit of a feel for what it's like out there. If you haven't watched these yet, you can go to YouTube, Apologia Studios on YouTube. You can actually watch probably over 100 videos of interaction with Mormons and Mormon teaching and teachings on Mormonism and how to engage Mormons. So here's a little clip from this past Christmas time.
I can show you from the scriptures that there's a distinction in person between the Father and the Son. I say, yay, amen. That's what we believe. That's what Christians have taught for 2,000 years. That's what we've always believed, that Jesus is not the Father, the Father is not the Son.
Right.
There's a distinction,
right?
But only one God by nature.
Right, and I understand where you guys are coming from, that there's definitely passages, you know, like the one he just shared in Isaiah, that, you know, there's only one God, there's not one before or after, and so on.
And he doesn't know another.
And he doesn't know another, correct. And I get that. So, but how do you explain in John the great high priest prayer by Jesus Christ when he prays for his disciples to be one? And he goes into a very, you know, he says, me and the Father one, he goes into that very distinctly. And then he throws this in, he says, that they may be one even as thou art in me and thou, and that they may be one like us, right?
Right, right.
So obviously he's not asking or praying that they merge into one person.
Because
correct?
That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about God's nature there. Like, let
so
them be.
So what is he talking about? Why would he, what, to explain.
So there you go, just a little sampling. Just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a taste to show you that The conversations that take place outside the Mormon temple in Mesa, Arizona, are by and large like this. They are gracious, cordial, respectful, humble conversations, by and large. Now, you do, of course, run into moments where you need to breathe fire and be direct and make sure that you proclaim the truth in a way that honors the Lord of Truth. But generally, Mormons aren't coming up to you and being rude and disrespectful. Honestly, most of the time, they're ignoring you and trying very hard to ignore you because they're told to ignore you at their local gatherings. And so they have a particular perspective of Christians outside of the the temple. They've been told a caricature about anti-Mormons, and so they think about you in a particular way. So when they walk up, many of them are actually terrified of you because they really think you're the devil. And so it can actually be a bit unnerving, I think, for some of them when you're gracious to them and respectful and loving and kind. And so there's a lot of good in terms of going to the Mormon temple to go and be present, to just love them and speak the truth. Even if they don't take a track, just seeing you there in a loving manner, it just really goes a long way for being able to build bridges in the future with that person. Or you never know. You know, this person has a picture of an anti-Mormon in their mind. They meet you outside the temple. You're gracious, you're loving, you're respectful. And then those walls start to come down, and maybe now they're more willing to talk to their Christian friend about some of these doctrinal differences, these important doctrinal differences. By the way, Marcus, I love these videos that we film at night.
Yeah.
Because, how do you say, is it the bokeh?
Bokeh.
Bokeh in the background.
Del Boca Vista?
Yeah,
Del Boca Vista.
The bokeh in the background, all the pretty lights and everything, the circles.
It does look awesome.
It just looks really cool. So yeah. I love those
videos. It's cinematic.
It is cinematic. It's nice. It looks like a movie. It's fantastic. So we hand out a tract, Basic Teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the tract says at the beginning, the following contains, by the way, help me guys, where can people go to get this tract? Because everyone always asks us.
ApologyRadio.com/Mormon? Mormon, okay. Yeah.
With a question mark at the end of it?
Mormon? Okay. ApologyRadio.com.
Don't type in the question mark.
Mormon?
You will not get anything. Yeah.
So that's where you go to get the tract. And yes, you can download it. Yes, you can use it. That's where you go to get it. And it says right here, the following contains four basic teachings of the LDS Church with the references to these doctrines and a comparison to see if the Bible corresponds to these basic teachings. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's a real simple tract. Nothing colorful at all about it. It's just a white tract, black text, and it's actually really ugly, but effective because there's a lot of information on here that's important. And so on the front of the tract, it has four basic teachings. Now, why do we write the tract in this way? First, I want to say this, that the tract has been vetted. It has been checked and triple checked in terms of the references that are there. So you can it's a dependable tract. You can depend upon the information that is in here. So that's first and foremost. This tract went through many hands and was seen by many eyes before it actually went out. And so you guys can trust that when you hand this tract out, people can go to those references and the information is all accurate. Now, why did I choose to put these particular teachings on the front page in light of the fact that many Mormons will see this and they'll say, you are out of your mind. We do not believe any of this stuff. You are lying about our church. Why would it be written in that way? Well, let me tell you. The reason why I wrote the tract in the way that I did is because I wanted to talk about some things that Mormons agree with. They will all say yay and amen to. They absolutely, Jesus is Lucifer's brother. Of course, got it. They'll understand all of that. But I wanted to put things in here that many points, are direct quotations of or nearly direct quotations of what their prophets have said.
Right.
And I want to put those things in there that are very strange teachings that Mormons will see and they'll say, that's nuts. That's crazy. And the reason why I did that is because I want them to do that. I want them to see something that Brigham Young said that you must believe or you'll go to hell. And I want to see them disagree with it.
Yeah.
I want them to be shocked by some insane teaching of Brigham Young, like Adam from the Garden of Eden is our father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do. I want a Mormon to see that and go, that's insane. And by the way, and Luke can attest to this, we've been out there so many times where Mormons have seen that. It's the very first line, by the way, on the tract. And they have said, you guys are lying about us. Mm. We do not believe that. And we've watched then Mormons get into conflict with each other because one says, no, Brigham Young did teach that. That is the teaching of the church. And the other Mormon goes, I never heard that in my life. And now you have a very, very clear example as to the false teaching in the Mormon church. Mormon theology that not only conflicts with the Bible, but it conflicts with other Mormons.
And usually their response will end up being, well, Brigham was wrong.
Which is excellent.
Right, which is where you want to get them to because then it completely undermines their entire worldview.
That's right. Because what does Mormonism fundamentally teach is that God restored prophets and apostles to the earth in the ministry of Joseph Smith. And what we want to point to, of course, is Brigham Young. Let's just do that. Let's talk about that one particular thing. Brigham Young taught the Adam God doctrine. Now, I understand, and I'm going to say ahead of time for the Mormons that are listening to this, first and foremost, we love you, we care for you, we respect you greatly. I understand that you might disagree with Brigham Young. And I understand there might even be Christians who say, Jeff, you really shouldn't talk about that because none of every Mormon accepts that. Look, I get it. But you need to really go to the words of Brigham Young. And this is what Brigham Young says. This is Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 50, April 9th, 1852. He says, Now hear it, O inhabitants of the earth, Jew and Gentile, saint and sinner. When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. He helped to make and organize this world. He is Michael the Archangel, the Ancient of Days, about whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our Father and our God, and the only God with whom we have to do. Every man upon the earth, professing Christian or non-professing, must hear it and will know it sooner or later. It seems ambiguous to you? Adam, from the Garden of Eden, is our Father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do. He brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. One of his wives. Now watch this. Same text. When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. And who is the Father? He is the first of the human family. And when he took a tabernacle, it was begotten by his Father in heaven. Are you hearing that? So what he's saying is that Adam from the Garden of Eden is our Father and our God, the only God with whom we have to do. And he is the Father of Jesus Christ. And he did it ultimately in the same way that we're created. And he denies that Jesus Christ is begotten by the Holy Ghost. Which, if you look at Matthew 1, verse 16, it says that the virgin was with child, and what was within her was of the Holy Ghost. In the Greek, it's by the agency of the Holy Ghost. And so Brigham Young is denying explicitly the biblical teaching of Christ and the virgin birth and how Christ entered into the womb of his mother Mary. Brigham Young explicitly denies what the Bible teaches in Matthew 1:16 about how that took place. And he says that it was essentially Adam God. Now here's what you want to actually hear, and this is really, really important in terms of what Brigham Young promises to anybody who would deny this. This is what Brigham Young says. This is Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 51, April 9th, 1852. Here's what he says. He says, what a learned idea! Jesus, our elder brother, capture that, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden and who is our Father in heaven. Now, is there any ambiguity there? Adam, God, actually created Jesus Christ in the flesh with the Virgin Mary. And look what he says here, because that's so shocking to people on the northeastern coast of the United States who are so influenced by Reformed Christianity. You got to understand that is the cultural, that is the culture that Joseph Smith is speaking into and Brigham Young is speaking into. You've got a culture that is very, very influenced by Reformed doctrine, and they have got to know how crazy this sounds. Many people were professing Christians and converted to Mormonism, and now Brigham Young is teaching some woo-woo, and it's got to shock them. So what Brigham Young says right after that is this. Now let all who may hear these doctrines pause before they make light of them, or treat them with indifference, for they will prove their salvation or damnation. Brigham says, you make light of it, you treat it with indifference, you will prove your salvation or damnation. So when a Mormon outside the Mormon Easter pageant sees our tract and they read that first line and they say, that's hooey, you guys are liars, you guys are misrepresenting our church, I don't believe that, that's wicked, that's stupid, that's evil, I've heard all that stuff. What I say is Brigham Young says you're damned. The prophet of your church says that you are damned. Why? Because you condemn his teaching, you don't believe it, you're not even treating with indifference, you are roundly rejecting it. And Brigham says you're damned. And so what do we do with that? What do we do with that? If the fundamental presupposition mm-hmm. is that God has restored prophets and apostles mm-hmm. to the church in Mormonism, and now you've got a prophet who's contradicting scripture and he says that Adam is our father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do, Jesus is not begotten by the Holy Ghost as the Bible says, and that Adam actually produced Jesus sexually with Mary, you've got all that going on, and he says, you're damned if you deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, this is what's so important here, is that this is not minor doctrinal differences. You know, when someone says, we're Christian too, you know, we just have minor differences, you know, we're all part of the same family, those sorts of things. No, Brigham Young says very, very clearly, much more courageous than many of the modern contemporary Mormons, he says, don't believe it, you're damned. Now, what he says is this, watch, I have given you a few leading items upon this subject, but a great deal more remains to be told. Now remember from this time forth and forever that Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. And you cross-reference Brigham's teaching, of course, with Matthew 1:16, and you see that Brigham Young is a false prophet.
So, playing devil's advocate here, a Mormon. Of course, they will say, we've heard this a zillion times. Well, that's not Mormon doctrine. That's not in the DNC. That's not from the Book of Mormon. That's not my quad. So, therefore, it doesn't matter. Even if Brigham said that, he wasn't speaking as a prophet. And so, it doesn't matter.
Right. And what we need to point out is that the biblical standard of a prophet, long before Joseph came along, long before Brigham came along, Orson Pratt, Orson Hyde, Joseph Fielding Smith, Monson, any of these guys came along, the biblical test of a prophet, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, the Bible teaches that if a prophet comes, and even if he has signs and wonders, but he leads you after a different god, gods which you have not known, he's a false prophet. Mm-hmm. And so the test, according to Scripture, is what does the prophet say about God? Now, Mormons can try to erect, well, we accept these texts over here, but not these over here.
Mm-hmm.
They can try to erect a different standard, but the fact of the matter is the Bible was laid down long before Joseph came along or Brigham came along, and the biblical standard holds. It abides. If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the thing doesn't follow, if it doesn't come to pass, Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22, that's how you know he's a false prophet, and Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4, if he leads you after a different god, he's a false prophet. Also, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if a prophet does not speak according to this word, he has no light in him, but there's more. Brigham Young denies what many modern Mormons say in terms of what their standard is. First and foremost, Brigham Young taught in Journal of Discourses, volume 13, page 20, 250, in 1870. Listen closely. He said, take the Bible then as it is. If it is not translated correctly, wait until it is. Giving you, of course, the basic assumption that the Bible is essentially fine the way that it is. But this is what he says in regard to his own teaching. He disagrees with many modern Mormons that will say, well, that's not part of our standard works. We have the Bible, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and Pearl of Great Price. That's our quad. Those are our standards. History of the Church, Journal of Discourses, Times and Seasons, all those things. That's not part of our standard works in our mm-hmm. in our church. Again, Brigham Young does not agree with your standard.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, before anything was published by the church, Brigham teaches, before it went out to the saints, it was in the press in Liverpool and Utah, it was checked and cross-checked and it was approved before it ever went to press in Liverpool and Utah. first and foremost. But here's what Brigham says. Journal of Discourses, Volume 13, page 95, 1870. When a Mormon tells you that's not part of our standard works, first and foremost, that's not what the Bible says is a test of a prophet. What does he say about God? You test it. This is what Brigham Young says about his own teachings. He says, I have never yet preached a sermon and sent it out to the children of men that they may not call Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have the privilege of correcting a sermon and it is as good as Scripture as they deserve. The people have the oracles of God continually. So he said when he preached a sermon, it was Scripture. Yep. He put it on the same level as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Scripture, 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 according to Brigham Young. And then someone says, aha! Jeff, I gotcha. He said, but give me the privilege of correcting a sermon, and it is as good as Scripture. So, maybe he didn't correct those sermons. Maybe he didn't improve what was going on and what was being published in his sermons. Au contraire. Yes, he did. Brigham Young, before anything was ever published, it went through an approval process before it went to the presses. And everything you have from his sermons, you know, if it was published, it was approved by Brigham Young. It was approved by his assistants. It was cross-checked before it ever went out. And so he did. And so what you have in Journal of Discourses, what you have in History of the Church, what you have in Times and Seasons in terms of what goes out from the church at that time, that was stuff that was accepted. It was seen as ultimately Scripture because it was from the prophet's mouth.
Yep.
That's why it's important to have the track the way it is. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com is where you go to get us. Don't forget, guys, please sign up for All Access. Number one, to everybody who's All Access, praise God for you and thank you for being with us and partnering with us, making everything possible. And number two, if you're not All Access, what are you waiting for? Here's what I know. I know there's like 100,000 people a month downloading Apologia Radio. That's what I know. Which means there's 90,000 of you plus that are not signed up for All Access. And if you did sign up for All Access, we would be able to produce content on a level that could never be missed by anybody in the world.
So real talk.
Real talk. Partner with Apologia Church. Help. Join us. Be a part of this with us so we can... Look, the more support we have, the more we can do. People are like, oh, thank you guys so much for your content. Praise God for that. You know what we want? We want to do more. But we can't do more without a lot of help from you guys. We need you. So partner with us. What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at ApologiaRadio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles, not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on the lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA and you can save some money while you save your face.
Like past new prophecies spoken by Joseph Smith. We know it's hopeless, but he's yelling, I won't quit. I up the ball and ran yards, no contestants. So Cash stayed back and tried to answer man's questions. Minutes later, he prayed the prayer of confession. The two latter day saints tried to step to him. Messing with him in an attempt to get him second guessing. But no stressing, the XLDS said to him. Flag on the play, blow the heresy whistle. Counterfeit scripts of Joseph Smith, blow the whistle. Your books full of bullets and apologetic pistols. I won't stand and be bamboozled, blow the whistle.
That's our music we listen to when we ever roll up to the Easter pageant or the Christmas lights together. That's our warm-up music.
Our war song.
That's our war song.
I definitely bump it so they can all hear it too.
That's right. That's right. So, and the name of that group?
Redeem Thought.
Redeem Thought. And the name of the song is?
Well, it's called Flag on the Play. It's actually a hidden track on the album. But if you look for it on YouTube, it's called Flag on the Play.
Flag on the Play. All right, Brigham Young said in Journal of Discourses, Volume 16, page 46, 1873, he says about the Bible, take up the Bible, compare the religion of the Latter-day Saints with it, and see if it will stand the test. And we say to Brigham Young, thank you, sir. We would be happy to do so. As a matter of fact, that is the test in the Scriptures. That's the test that Jesus used in Mark chapter 7, against the tradition of his day that was being elevated to divine, the status of divine tradition. He took the word of God and he compared it with their traditions. And he says to them, he says, thus you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. He says, Moses says, and he quotes the Scriptures, and he says, but you say, and he shows that their teaching is antithetical to what the Bible actually says. And Jesus rejects their tradition and says that their tradition is invalidating, making void the word of God. Brigham Young, of course, in this moment has a beautiful moment of clarity and actually solid biblical truth underneath him when he says to take up the Bible and compare it to the religion of the Latter-day Saints with it and see if it will stand the test. And we do that actually right here in this clip from this past Christmas with a Mormon. Here's another example outside the temple.
I believe with Joseph that there are three gods of this earth and many billions upon billions upon billions of gods outside of this earth.
How do you explain, okay? Because we got to...
Can you answer that question?
No, I can't answer it. Because listen, unless we're on the same platform, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so here's the difference. So I believe that God, Heavenly Father, is Jesus Christ's Son. Okay.
Wait, say that again.
Could you...
I think you misstated
Heavenly,
that. Say
okay,
it,
so okay. Heavenly Father... Jesus Christ, they're not the same person.
Right,
they're separate individuals.
They're separate individuals and beings.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Okay, so
that contradicts John 1.
It doesn't.
It does.
Well, it doesn't. How do we explain, okay, all the things? So how do you explain then the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father? How do you explain that?
I'm going to give it to you right now.
What
you do know, it does not mean... is it does not mean that the Father created Jesus a second God. Because the Bible teaches, fundamentally, long before you knew anything about Jesus, that there was only one God by nature.
That's your interpretation.
No, I'll give you the quotations. Deuteronomy 4, 35 and 39. He is God alone in the heavens above and on the earth below.
Correct.
Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Isaiah 43:10, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the first and I am the last.
Correct.
Besides me there
Correct.
Is no God.
Correct.
So what you know it doesn't mean is that the Father created Jesus sexually. Now, just because it's important, the word only begotten, the text, let's say John 1, the monogenes theos, the unique and one of a kind God, Jesus, he has revealed the Father. And when it talks about Christ as the only begotten of the Father, it doesn't mean in creation. It talks about his position, his unique position.
Right. Here's the deal.
So there's an example of some more conversation outside of the Mormon temple in Mesa, Arizona, during the Christmas lights. And so there is some important things to be discussed here in terms of how do we have a conversation with Mormons? And oftentimes people ask the question, how does presuppositional apologetics work with the Mormon, the Jehovah's Witness? When people ask that question, I think that they have understood, or maybe it's not been communicated in a correct way, how presuppositional or Reformed apologetics ultimately ought to operate. It essentially is this. The revelation of God is the supreme revelation. It is the It is the standard. It's the thing that you stand on. And so when you're talking to the atheist, there's no neutrality. You stand on the word of God and his revelation. As you press the antithesis, you come into collision with their worldview. When you're talking to the Mormon, you're using the word of God and you're bringing it against their position, their standards, their foundations. And so that's ultimately what we want to do, is use the word of God. We're taking the standard of Jesus in terms of getting at truth, and we're bringing it now against the Mormon position. Now, on the tract, we're not going to be able to go through all of it today in this episode. On the tract, it says that God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man with a body as tangible as man's. Now, you can flip the tract to the middle, and you just look at that. It's 1B, second point of the first part of the tract, 1B. You flip it over to the references, and you look for 1B, and you get all the references for that point. Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, page 3, Volume 6, page 4, Volume 9, page 286, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith by Joseph Fielding Smith, pages 345 to 347, Mormon Doctrine by Bruce R. McConkie, page 321, and page 589, Doctrine and Covenants, 130, verse 22, Articles of Faith by James Talmadge, page 42, 40. See, there's a lot. It's not like one thing, one proof text. This is the teaching of the church. God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man with a body as tangible as man's. You can read that in the King Follett Discourse by Joseph Smith. That's what he says there. He says that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. So it's not a private revelation of his. That's from God himself. Then we have letter C on the tract. It says that God in Mormonism lives near the star Kolob. Now, to the Christian ear, that sounds awfully strange. God lives near the star Kolob.
Yeah.
So I said, where do you ever get that idea? Where's that in the Bible? Well, it's not in your Bible. And it's strange teaching. It's awfully weird. But I don't think that would be very strange to the Mormon. And why? Why do you ask? Because if you could hie to Kolob, you would understand. If you could hie to Kolob, that's a Mormon hymn. And that part right there would probably be accepted by Mormons outright. So what we did is, what I did is I filled the tract with points that the Mormon says absolutely, and other points that the Mormon says you're crazy, and it's mixed up in that way so that they will see it and say, okay, that is what I believe, and that's crazy, and I want you to go to the references and check. That's what your prophets taught. Now here's an example of why that's not strange teaching. Here is if you could hie to Kolob, H-I-E. So that's if you could hide to Kolob, a Mormon hymn. And so that wouldn't be unfamiliar to the average Mormon who knows their doctrine, knows their theology.
I've never asked this question, but do they have any idea where Kolob's at? Is it in our universe?
Is it flat?
Is there like...
Well,
I suspect, yeah.
I didn't know if there's like a star that they
think...
There's
a whole controversial thing about flat Earth Kolob.
Flat Kolob. I didn't know if there's like a star in our solar system or something somewhere where they think is Kolob. I never asked that question.
I wish I could answer that. I don't know. I would imagine they believe it's in our universe. But yeah, that's a good question. Very good question. He was once a child who had a father before him, who had a father before him. There's references to that. An eternal progression of gods. He is also a member of a council of gods. God has not always been God. He progressed to become the God of this planet. There is a plurality of gods as well as a mother god in heaven. And again, all you do on the tract is just, each one is labeled. You just go to 1H on the references, and they can check those references out themselves. That last point is History of the Church, Volume 6, page 474. Mormon Doctrine by Bruce R. McConkie, pages 576 to 577, Pearl of Great Price, Abraham 4:1, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith by Joseph Fielding Smith, page 370. And so all the references are there. We try to put a number of references so you can see that this is, in fact, the consistent teaching, at least of classic Mormonism. Classic Mormonism.
I didn't realize that came from the Book of Abraham either.
Yeah,
I'm just looking up to see if I can figure out while we're talking about this where it's at.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't realize that that's where it originated.
Yeah. So the plurality of gods as well as a mother god in heaven. Jesus is the second point, and it says Jesus is a created being. And that should be obvious to the average Mormon, because what does the Bible say about Heavenly Father, Elohim? Well, let's go to the popular sermon, King Follett Discourse. King Follett Discourse. And in the King Follett Discourse, Joseph Smith says that we've imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. He says, I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. You've got to learn to become gods yourselves, the same way all gods had done before you. So if God has not been God from all eternity, and if he progressed to become a god, and if you need to progress to become a god as well, and if Jesus Christ is literal offspring between Heavenly Father and one of his goddess wives, well then, ergo, Jesus is a created being. And B, he is one God among many gods. That's classic Mormon teaching. Joseph Smith teaching there's a council of gods. You've got to become a god one day yourself. As man is, God once was. Mm-hmm. As God is, man may become. And next, Jesus is a spiritual brother of Satan. That is classic Mormon teaching. Jesus was a polygamist. Ah, this is where it gets heavy. Brigham Young taught, of course, in Journal of Discourses, Volume 3, page 266 in 1855, something that every Mormon today needs to hear, and it ought to force every Mormon to have respect, at least in terms of consistency, for every Mormon sect that is not part of the large Salt Lake sect,
right,
that practices polygamy. This is what Brigham taught. He says, now, if any of you will deny the plurality of wives and continue to do so, I promise that you will be damned. Brigham says, you deny the plurality of wives, mm-hmm, you'll be damned.
Mm-hmm.
So every Mormon today that says we don't practice polygamy any longer, our church got a revelation from God. And by the way, don't you think that it's interesting? I'm choosing that word to be very, very gracious. Don't you think it's interesting that the Mormon Church received the revelation from God to no longer practice polygamy, mm-hmm, which is actually called the principle, and it's in Doctrine and Covenants that this is an eternal thing,
mm-hmm,
and it's from God. And Brigham Young says that you'll be damned if you don't practice it. Don't you think it's interesting that the Mormon Church gets a revelation from God that we're no longer to practice polygamy any longer, only after the United States threatens the Mormon people?
Right. Stop it or leave.
Oh, isn't it interesting? We're gonna essentially send you into exile if you don't stop practicing this. And then God receives a revelation. They receive a revelation from God. I just find that curious, to say the least. Well, Jesus being a polygamist. Now, Mormons today will say, "How dare you? Why would you say something so incredibly crazy?" Well, what you need to read is from your own apostles and prophets. The Seer by Orson Pratt, page 159 and 172. Journal of Discourses, volume 2, page 210. Volume 4, page 259. Read it. Check it out. See what classic Mormon teaching was on polygamy. And by the way, can you just think about something for a minute? Don't Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is a God? Yes, they do.
They do.
Mormons believe that Jesus Christ is a God. And what did Brigham Young say about polygamy? He said, the only men who become gods or even the sons of God are those who enter into polygamy. The only men who become gods or even the sons of God are those who enter into polygamy. And so if Jesus Christ is a God, if he's a God, if he became a God, then that means that he had to be a what?
Polygamist.
A polygamist. And classic Mormon doctrine taught that Jesus Christ was a polygamist, because that is how you go through exaltation.
Yep.
And that's very, very important. And so what we're going to do is we're going to come back in just a moment, and we're going to talk about a controversial point here, and that's in terms of Heavenly Father having a physical sexual relationship with Mary to produce Jesus, and we'll probably wrap up the show after that. But don't forget, guys, ApologiaRadio.com is where you go to get the past episodes. Pick one up. By the way, I was just looking for the reference. before we sign off here?
I have a quick answer for Kolob if you want to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Let me just read this real fast.
Okay.
That last point, Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 269, August 19th, 1866. The only men who become gods, even the sons of God, are those who enter into polygamy.
There you go. Okay, so quickly, apparently Earth was created by Kolob and then brought into our solar system where it is today. So they, I guess, this is all news to me. I didn't know this. So they would say that our solar system and our sun revolve around a star with a really weird name I'm not going to try to pronounce, which itself revolved around its own solar system around another star, which then revolve around Kolob, which is the great center of that part of the universe to which our planetary system belongs.
Okay.
So there you go. There's your answer to that.
I never looked into that.
So
very interesting.
So basically, our solar system is around another solar system who is around another solar system who revolves around Kolob.
Okay.
You get all great. That?
Gotcha.
And none of it's flat.
Okay, well... We would agree with them there.
At least Mormons aren't flat earthers. At least not officially, I guess. All right, guys, be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Les.
And I'm Tanner.
And we're the hosts of the Reformed Pubcast,
a weekly podcast where two friends get together and talk about the things that they love.
It's like all those times you talked about theology over a pint of beer with your friends, but we're just dumb enough to record it.
It's the theology of Calvin and the thirst of Luther.
Join in on the conversation by subscribing on iTunes or your favorite podcast catcher. It's the Reformed Pubcast.
We're back. So, last segment here. On the track, one of the controversial points, after we talk about Christ being a polygamist according to classic Mormon doctrine and theology, the final point on 2E was that Jesus was not begotten by the Holy Ghost, and that is what you have from Brigham Young. We did that at the beginning of the episode when he talked about Adam God doctrine, and he explicitly denies that Jesus Christ was begotten by the Holy Ghost. He says that Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. We include in the tract, but rather was conceived by Heavenly Father having a sexual relationship with Mary instead of letting any other man do it. That, of course, is in the same text of the Adam God doctrine, but there's more, of course, because it was classic Mormon teaching. And to do that, let's look at a couple quotations here. Orson Pratt, the Seer, page 132 from 1853. He says, "We were begotten by our Father in heaven. The person of our Father in heaven was begotten on a previous heavenly world by his Father. And again, he was begotten by a still more ancient Father and so on from generation to generation, from one heavenly world to another, still more ancient until our minds are wearied and lost in the multiplicity of generations and successive worlds. And at a last resort, we wonder in our minds how far back the genealogy extends and how the first world was formed and the first father was begotten." Now, obviously, that's how it all takes place. But what he says here in Orson Pratt, The Seer, page 158, is this. "If none but gods would be permitted to multiply immortal children, it follows that each god must have one or more wives. What's that say about Heavenly Mother? It says we have one, according to Mormon doctrine. And it says, of course, the fleshly body of Jesus required a mother as well as a father. Therefore, the father and mother of Jesus, according to the flesh, must have been associated together in the capacity of husband and wife. Hence, the Virgin Mary must have been, for the time being, the lawful wife of God the Father. He had a lawful right to overshadow the Virgin Mary in the capacity of a husband and beget a son, although she was espoused to another. For the law which he gave to govern men and women was not intended to govern himself or to prescribe rules for his own conduct. Woo! That gets crazy. So essentially the point is that Joseph and Mary are espoused to one another, but the point of Mormon doctrine at this point is that Heavenly Father had a physical, yeah, intimate relationship with Mary to produce Jesus. And so Orson Pratt is trying to fix it to say, well, there's got to be some way that God the Father can actually be married to Mary while she's actually espoused to another because he had a physical relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, look, the laws that God gives to us to govern us aren't the same ones that govern him. You don't have to do that. And so that's just one example of many that can be given on this particular point, that Mormon doctrine classically teaches that Heavenly Father had a physical relationship with Mary to produce Jesus. Now, I'll wrap up about the tract, and hopefully you guys go and download it and check it out and use it. I'll wrap up by saying that on the rest of the tract, there it gets, I'd say, in many ways, kind of crazy. At the last point, we do bring in the point that Brigham Young taught, and that is that the doctrine of blood atonement, your own blood must be spilled,
yeah,
in order to atone for some sins, because the blood of Christ will never wipe away some sins. Your own blood must be spilled in order to atone for them. So you finish it up with that. You turn the tract over on the inside and you see the references. Then on the right-hand side, it says the Bible. And what it does is it goes point by point through those points of Mormon doctrine and it compares them with the scriptures. It focuses in upon a God. It focuses in upon God and the gospel, which are the two primary, premier issues you need to focus on with any person in a cult. You need to focus on the right God and the right gospel. That's what counts.
Mm-hmm.
On the back of it is a quick explanation of justification through faith, because that's the heart of it all in terms of how we are reconciled to God. That's what Mormons will disagree with. And that's how it works, guys.
Three things I was going to say. One, and I just completely lost it. Well, one of them is, oh, I know, the point about Heavenly Father having physical sex with Mary, that's guaranteed to make people mad.
Yes.
That's, we've had some pretty fiery Mormons that don't like that. And that, again, that's why you put it in there, because it is so outlandish that it causes division within their own worldview. So just be prepared if you are discussing this track with somebody. You may get some very angry Mormons at that point. The second thing I was going to say is that just to see the kind of silliness of this, there really is an eternal regression of gods, right? Like they have no idea who was the first, because in that worldview, there has to be an original somewhere, or it's evolution, or there's a Big Bang theory. But nobody knows that. It's just, well, it just goes on eternally. And then I forgot the third point I was going to say. So,
well, it's good that Luke brought that up. You need to know that some of these points you bring up with them will upset them, and they may, you know, really criticize you and attack you for it. But look, hang on for the long haul with that one. Give them the tract and let them go research the references, right, for themselves. Look, they may criticize you and attack you for bringing it up. But what they really need to do is deal with their own prophets and apostles who taught it. Now, the truth is, many modern Mormons do not know Mormon theology and doctrine. They don't know the history of their church. Yep. They haven't investigated it. So be patient with them as you present these things to them, and it seems very, very strange to their ears. Be patient with them. Allow like a spirit of graciousness to reside in that conversation, to give them enough time to go research this for themselves. What has taken place many times before is people leave with this tract, they hate the tract, they say that it's a lie, they go home, they go research for themselves, and then they end up coming to Christ. Because they see our prophets and apostles did in fact teach those things, mm-hmm, and this is in fact what the Bible does teach. And God uses it to draw them to himself. And mm-hmm, so be patient, don't expect an on-the-spot, you know, conversion, or, you know, give them time. You know, years and years and years of indoctrination oftentimes takes at least a couple of days to break through. You got to communicate and let them wrestle with God a bit. And of course, God opens their eyes. And so give them time and be gracious.
I remember the other two before I forget. So In regards to what you were saying, just keep in mind that the Mormon Church has tried very, very hard to be very Christian,
right?
Recently, so a lot of these things, people even maybe have grown up in the church, have never heard that. Like, you have to be pretty deep in to hear some of these things at some point. And then the other thing I was going to say is, it's important to notice that they always have an out. Like, that's why I brought up the one question earlier. You know, if it's something that one of their prophets who claims it's scripture, you know, if they don't agree with it, they can just say they're out there as well. He wasn't speaking for God at that point. The other out is with scripture itself. Anytime you bring them to the Bible, they accept the Bible unless it disagrees with their doctrine, and then they say it's translated incorrectly or you've interpreted it incorrectly. So they always have an out of some sort whenever they can't account for something.
Joy?
I was just going to say, specifically, your response should probably be praise God if you confront them with the issue of like a physical pregnancy, physical sex between Mary and God. And if they don't accept the answer that, well, God isn't consistent and he has his own laws that he uses to govern himself, if they approach that with skepticism, if they say, I don't believe that, then that's actually more praise God. Like, so,
right.
I mean, well, and essentially what they're saying is, at that moment is, I believe in God, I believe in his consistency, his law, and that allows you to take his word and pretty much lay to rest many of the other claims they make.
That's right.
If on that one point they're willing to say, oh, well, God still can't, he's not going to do anything outside of his character, he doesn't just do whatever he wants, then, you know, with that comes all this other, I don't want to say ammunition, but for lack of a better word, that totally bolsters your argument. They're willing to secede that God can't do whatever he wants, and that means he can't be wrong in his scripture.
Right, right. Because a good point, I didn't really emphasize it, but if Heavenly Father had a physical sexual relationship with Mary, then that means he created incest. He actually participated in incest.
Mm-hmm.
Engaged in incest, because he created her first in the pre-existence with one of his goddess wives as a spiritual child.
Right.
Then he has a physical relationship with her on earth. So that's his spiritual daughter.
Right.
Through his goddess wife. And so there's incest, but also, of course, and Orson Pratt brings it up, there's the fact that she was espoused to Joseph. So there's two violations of God's own law taking place in what was apparently supposed to have taken place between Elohim and Mary. And so, yeah, it creates a huge problem. And Joy is exactly right. And if the Mormon, like, digs their heels in and says, I reject that.
Right.
And what you say is, praise God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I reject it with you.
Right.
It's a disgraceful, despicable doctrine. Now, investigate it and read your New Testament, read your Old Testament, and see what God actually says about it. You see, listen, if they continue in a rejection of what their prophets taught, that's a good thing. Because they're rejecting what Mormon prophets and apostles have taught. And that's the start. That's the starting point where they need to be to actually turn to Christ. They have to reject the prophets and apostles of Mormonism. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all, that's been Apologia Radio for today. We hope it's been a helpful episode for you guys. Go to Apologia.radio/Mormon. Go get the tract, y'all. Use it. We think it'll bless the people that you share it with. And so that's all for today, guys. Luke the Bear.
Peace out, everybody.
Joy the girl.
See ya.
Marcus on the ones and twos.
Hello.
Thank you guys so much for being with us. Don't forget to go to apologiaradio.com and sign up for all access. Catch you guys next week. Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself?
Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't.
You can cut this, so just talk about it.
Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112, Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.